The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of many things. Hello. Welcome to Exposing the Masters Within, the one and only hour on radio or the internet dedicated solely to helping you expose yourself. My name is John Schulte. I'm here to serve you, to help you to know more of the truth about you. It's often said, looks can be deceiving. And we all know that the surface of things is, by definition, shallow. So thanks for joining me today as we journey through the looking glass to explore what's on the other side, to explore what's beneath the surface. We're here together to discover, uncover, and recover our masters within. You knew your mastery much more fully when you signed up for your on-earth sojourn. But you mostly forgot it soon after leaving the cozy confines of your mother's womb. You've rediscovered some inkling of it, or you wouldn't be listening to me now. So, it's time to remember the masters we are. It's time to reclaim the power we have. It's time for Exposing the Masters Within. Let's get started.
Today is Sunday, February 5th, 2012, if you're listening live, and whatever other time it is if you're listening to the recording. Thank you and welcome. Always great to be here and connecting. And so let's start with the connections. And as always, the first place to go is within, opening up to our own divinity, our own mastery, our own empowerment. And so just allow yourself at this moment, to whatever degree works for you, in whatever way works for you, to open up to the maximum experience of your divinity, the maximum experience of your mastery, and just breathe that in or up or out through you. Let yourself feel that as much as you're able to at this moment. And know that however much you're able to connect with that today, right now, is the most you've been able to do that in this lifetime. At least as far as I'm concerned, we are always moving forward in opening that up. And unless we're in the midst of one of those dark nights of the soul, one of those spiritual crises, this moment is always going to be more connected, or at least potentially more connected than previous moments. So let that maximum that you've ever experienced come up right now. All right. And let's connect with the thing energetically that joins us most directly, our Mother Earth, the being that joins us most directly. And just let yourself open again to that connection, whatever way works for you, down through your feet, down through the root chakra. And again, just open those doors as fully as you're able. And let her energy come up to fill you. Feel yourself centering, relaxing, grounding. And at the same time, let your energy go out to her. This is our most important relationship beyond the one with our own divinity. And so the more we are in that energy of relationship with the energy flowing both ways, the more present we can be in this moment. And so just open that up. Open yourself to receiving. Sometimes not the easiest thing to do, but give yourself that permission. Claim what you know mentally, that you're divine, and you deserve to receive, not based on what you do or what you've done, but based on who you are, a divine being, a divine child of light. All right. And that's open now to those connections into the divine realms, whatever that might look like, even though planet Earth is a divine realm. We may not always feel it that way. So this next is about connecting to those that we trust are already much more aware in a much greater experience of divinity. Our angels, our guides, the ascended masters and teachers that we work with, all of those who are here in a non-physical way to aid us in moving forward into our own awareness of that divinity, of that mastery. And we thank them, and we thank our Mother Earth for being there as well. And let's move out now to those of us who are sharing the journey, opening up to the others who are connecting through this co-creative process, through today's show. Whether they're here live with us or whether you're listening to the recording, each and every one of you is putting your energy into this co-creation, putting your energy into the words that I'll share here today, the concepts, the energies. And so let yourself breathe into that community, the team, if you will, of those walking the spiritual path. We are not here alone. And so let's expand the experience of that co-creative partnership, that co-creative team. Wonderful. And the last level of conscious connection that we'll do here today is out to all the light workers on planet Earth at this time. Almost 7 billion people on the planet right now. I have no idea how many are consciously seeking to empower themselves, who are consciously seeking to heal and let go of the pains of the past, who are consciously seeking to awaken into their mastery and to support others in awakening into their mastery. But the numbers are not what's important. What's important is the community and the energy that we are creating together, even with light workers we have never met in this life. Even with light workers, we will never meet in this life. We are putting forth an energy together of co-creation, of transformation, and of empowerment. And the more we can allow ourselves to remember that, and the more we can open ourselves to receive that, that co-creative energy, the more we will be able to make those free will choices to open into our mastery personally, more fully. And so let yourself receive that. Let yourself open to it. Let yourself experience that community. Always feels good to do that. Probably be a good thing to do more frequently, but at least once a week is a good thing. And so, today, this goes in the category of you never know where this show is going to go, because today we're going to talk a little bit about sports. Since it's Super Bowl Sunday, and for those who weren't aware of that, well, that's fairly amazing. As many people in this country as participate in the Super Bowl by watching it, having the parties, etc., it's fairly hard to get away from. It's in the commercials. It's in the looking forward to the commercials. And I feel there's such a strong energy that it's a very good thing to look at. What is this phenomenon that's been created that causes that many people to connect in with the Super Bowl? And what can we take out of it? Whether we choose to watch it or not is irrelevant, but what can we take out of it and learn about the path of mastery through this example that somewhere between a third and 40% of the people in the U.S. are going to connect with directly here today? And So, as I was sitting with this, or as ideas were dropping in, I wanted to start with just kind of touching in on some of the obvious points. And one of the most obvious is that it's a one-time thing, and it has grown into a party. But it's grown into connecting through shared experience. I read something this morning that it doesn't necessarily surprise me in thinking about it, but still might be an odd fact that Super Bowl Sunday, and the very fact that it has that name and has become something of a national holiday, if it were held on Monday, probably people would get the day off from work. But that this is the second largest day of food consumption each year in the U.S. after Thanksgiving. And that just, again, it doesn't surprise me since there's so many people actively participating, but it's not something I would have expected necessarily, not having given it thought. And that to me speaks to one of the major things about it. Yes, it is this event and how many people watch it and what reasons they watch it. We'll talk about in a little bit. But in many cases, this is a chance for community. If you look at the calendar, this is the biggest thing since New Year's Day as far as people getting together, connecting, or New Year's Eve, depending on how someone celebrates those kinds of things. It was placed in the perfect portion of the year where there is this dearth of holidays to celebrate. It's in the winter, although winter has been very odd lately for much of the country. And it gives people a chance, an opportunity to get together in community where they might not otherwise at this time of year. And so I think, call it what you will, happenstance, synchronicity, whatever, when the football schedule was set up in the fall and the playoff schedule made this time of year being when it was going to take place, the championship game that turned into the Super Bowl, it was made to expand because a lot of people are getting stir crazy at this time of year in the areas of the country that have four seasons and have winter. And so that's one context for it. Another context is about, well, let's talk about sport. It is sport. It is football. Having played football for 4 years and having had the opportunity and chosen not to do it in college, there is something to be said. And a lot of coaches at least give lip service to the idea that it's about teamwork and cooperation and working together. But ultimately, the most successful teams have to work together. And so that is something that, again, is, that's a useful lesson for us to take no matter what we're doing, no matter what we're trying to accomplish in our lives, even if we do work by ourselves, the self-employed, etc. Even if what we do is not, well, what most people think of when they think of careers. I never set out to be a channel. And yet, in order for me to do what I do, it has to be co-creative. Now, I believe that much more consciously than some people. Certainly, I believe that everything that comes out of my mouth on these radio shows is here because the people who are listening are co-creating it with me. And as much as anything else, I'm almost acting like the radio for these words to come out of me, even though I'm not in direct channel when this is taking place. It is not something I sit down and I have tons of notes or I have a list of topics even that I want to cover every week. It is in a flow that I get in because there is this community creating it and this community bringing it forth. And so, again, as we look at this today, even though from my experience, most of the people who are walking a conscious spiritual path are not what I would call avid sports fans. Some do follow sports, etc., but it's not like the fans that are going to paint themselves blue or whatever color their team is and go sit on the sidelines with no shirt on and some team logo on their face. That's not the kind of person who is typically going to walk this path, because we have turned more of our energy into that inward focus. But this idea of community and teamwork, to me, is exceptionally important. And the more we can open to that, the more we can co-create in that way, I think the more satisfying our life has the potential to be. My own life is going through lots of transitions right now. Certainly not as much as a year and a half ago almost, when I was getting divorced, moving, etc., all of those kinds of things. But the shift in energy that's taking place on the planet now is getting more intense. And so that connecting out into community, even if it's not other people in body, even if it's that level of connection where it's reaching down into the Mother Earth, where it's reaching into connection with our guides and angels, even if it's not reaching out and talking to someone on the phone, but connecting energetically to the other light workers on the planet, the more we can consciously choose to see ourselves as part of a community, and even, I would say, as part of a team, the easier it's going to be. So, and why team instead of community? Well, for me, team has the energy of shared vision in it. Community can, but you can also have a community just of the people who live locally with you. You don't necessarily share the larger vision, but walking this path, seeking mastery, seeking to discover our power within ourselves, to me, is very much something that's going to be supported by that teamwork. And so it's exceptionally powerful. For me, it's exceptionally powerful to know that I have people out there that are friends and colleagues and even clients that I can connect with, and we're walking in the same direction. We're seeking similar things. We have similar goals to move us forward. And taking that into that energy of team, into that idea of team, for me is actually a very empowering way to look at it, because it's one step beyond, yes, we have things in common, to say we have a direction in common. It's one step beyond to say we are connected in a certain way, to say that through that connection, we can more easily individually move forward. And in moving forward individually, we make it easier to move forward collectively as a team. Now, let's go back to the Super Bowl. Let's go back to sports. Let's go back to football. Again, why is it that this has become such a big deal in American culture? Well, I'm going to touch in again upon some of the obvious factors. Money. Money. There's more money bet on this game than any other single sporting event on the planet. Money. The commercials, the commercial time is amazingly and in some ways ridiculously expensive. how many people could be fed with the money that is spent on the commercials for the Super Bowl. The concept of how many people will watch this game today or watch the experience of the Super Bowl, because there are people who watch it just to watch the commercials, for me is simply mind-boggling. Last year's Super Bowl was the highest rated single television program in history. 111 million people. That's quite frankly, for me, mind-boggling. That many people doing anything at the same time. Other than, well, disasters. Hurricane Katrina, the tsunami in Thailand, the Twin Towers going down on 9/11, the space shuttles when they blew up. Other than those kinds of things that tend to get us all focused in one direction, it's interesting to me that it is a sporting event that has the greatest number of participants working together consciously, at least the most obvious greatest number. I don't know if any of these national or international days of prayer that come along periodically have ever touched numbers like this, but I find that interesting. That is a huge amount of mass consciousness. And I believe that a big piece of why this has become such a big day is for that very reason. It's for that community. It's for connecting with that energy. Connecting with that energy. Even those of us, and certainly there was a lot of my life where I was not consciously walking a path, or I would touch in upon that sporadically, as opposed to being, you know, a core piece of what I choose to do with my life. But even those of us who are not consciously walking a path can feel energy. If we are in a crowd, at a concert, at some huge lecture hall, at some sporting event, that energy is palpable. It literally is almost electric in the air. You can feel it. It's energy that can be transformed into the energy of the mob. And there are certainly psychological studies that have tried to look at that. Why would people do something in a mob that they would not necessarily do on their own? And it has to do with that flow of energy. And if we're not used to a flow of energy, then that energy can actually override some of the protections that we have built in to prevent us from expressing or lashing out in anger, et cetera, as a mob would do. But again, not that long ago, within the last week or so, I don't know when exactly I saw this, there was yet another. I believe this was in Egypt, yet another sporting event where there were riots after the event between fans where people were killed and hundreds of people were put in the hospital. And that sort of thing speaks to the energy of mass consciousness. And so it's a good thing, again, just to be aware of that power. It's not something that is just theoretical. It is demonstrable. And we don't always see that when we're walking this path and when we're seeking our empowerment, when we're seeking to change the energy on the planet. And yet, it's there. And it's true. And it's true. And what each of us does individually makes a difference for the team, so to speak, for this mass consciousness moving forward into empowerment. There is no such thing as a small act of healing or a small act even of kindness. because that energy gets added to and even multiplied by all of the other acts of kindness, by all of the other acts of healing that are taking place on the planet, that have taken place on the planet. And that is one of the things that we, well, we on Team Ascension, maybe we should get some t-shirts made. We on Team Ascension are building that momentum, building that energy. And that's another analogy that we can use toward toward those or out of the sporting events analogies. There, sportscasters, broadcasters, people who talk about the games, analyzing it to death, will often speak about a particular event that has the capacity to change the momentum of the game. Well, I think that's a wonderful way to look at living here right now on planet Earth, living here in terms of making the changes that we're seeking to make on the planet. The less seriously we can take it. Now, I don't mean just stop doing anything directly consciously. That's not the point. But the less we can turn it into a matter of life and death and look at it as a game. We're here playing around with what it means to be a divine being that doesn't remember its own divinity. We are here to play around with what it means to ascend a planet, to raise the vibrations up above the level where it is so difficult to directly experience our divinity, where it is so difficult to live that way, where it is so difficult to consciously co-create that way. And yet, when we can play with that, instead of having it be such a life and death thing, there's less pressure to perform. But that pressure to perform comes out of the very fact that we don't remember we're divine at an experiential level. Since we don't know our divinity, we don't know our value, we're trying to prove our value, and what could be more important than ascending the planet, for God's sake? What could be more important? What could finally get us to prove to ourselves our worth than transforming the planet in spite of all those who seem to be almost actively trying to stop the planet from ascending? Well, you know what? The more we can breathe in and recognize that we can't go back and change anything, can't change 9/11, can't change the government's response to Katrina, can't move the people off the beaches in Thailand so the tsunami doesn't kill them, can't stop World War II and the Holocaust, can't stop Vietnam, can't go back and change anything in world history. We're here now, doing it now. Like those football players. They have a play. They execute it. The play ends. Maybe it was a great play. Maybe it was a terrible play. Maybe it was exactly the opposite of what they wanted to happen. But until that game is over, there's another play to run. And if they're not being in the moment with this particular play, if they're focusing on the last one, then they're not going to execute this one well because they're not going to be present. So sporting events in general, and again, at this level, professional football, there are lots of people that play football in high school. Fewer that go on to college, far fewer that go into the professional levels, and far fewer that get to the Super Bowl. Does that mean they're actually the best athletes? No. Does it mean that they're actually measurably the best team? Well, not really, necessarily. It means that they won the games at the right time to get them into this game. But they're going to play within the energy of all those mass consciousness expectations. How much mass consciousness is there from all those people who put bets on the game? How much is there? How much mass consciousness is there from the rabid fans? Well, in this Super Bowl has a team from New York and it has a team from New England, from essentially Boston, and you've got two very, very large communities of fans that are putting in their mass consciousness, their prayers. Well, I think prayer is a great thing. I think it's kind of silly to pray to win the game. But at the same time, if you think about it, every time we are seeking to do something in our lives, we are seeking to do that in spite of our past experiences that might suggest that we're not worthy enough or smart enough or powerful enough or creative enough or whatever enough to get it done, especially every time we're trying to do something new. And we are also not just dealing with our own personal experiences related to that, but we're also having to deal with the mass consciousness that humans are unworthy to do that, or the majority of humans, or humans who happen to be female, or humans who happen to have been abused, or humans who happen to have had this kind of experience in the past, or humans who happen to have that kind of experience in the past, can't do that thing that we're trying to do for the first time. And so again, there are lessons here in looking at that game, because the team that wins is going to be the team that has the clearest vision and the clearest execution of that vision. In other words, they have been preparing for it. They've been envisioning their success. They've been envisioning the steps that they're going to take to do it. And then they've actually dealt with the moment while it's going on. Preparation is huge, but execution of that preparation is essential, or you never get to the end point. It's like the analogy of the blueprint for a house. You can't live in the blueprint. You have to put the energy in to execute it, to actually build the house, to create that new experience, to create that new expression, to create that new thing. And that is a big picture of what this game demonstrates to us. Because each one of those individuals, first and foremost, they're not against the other team. That may sound surprising. It's competition. It's direct. They're having to deal with their own doubts, their own unworthiness. Just because they are making however much money they're making as these athletes, professionals, just because they've been doing this for years, every one of them is still living on planet Earth. As far as I'm aware, none of them are ascended. And they have their varying degrees of their sense of value of themselves that they have earned through whatever ways they have tried to earn that. And so they're dealing with the mass consciousness of doubt. And so they're going to do that. And yes, then they have the other thing, which is the mirror of that doubt. The other team is their mirror, mirroring back to them. Even though the other team is actively trying to stop them, the other team is actively acting as a mirror of the doubt that they hold. And so the team with the least amount of doubt will be the team that wins. But again, if we take that out into our personal lives, all those circumstances, all those people around us who in whatever way seem to be holding us back, seem to be creating interference, they're just the mirrors of our own doubts. And when we can look at them from that perspective, when we can look at them and know and again, certain coaches and teachers of sports through the years have talked about the battle, even in competitive sports where you have an active opponent, the battle is won or lost in the mind of the participants before the game ever begins. There are books written, numbers of books written about that very thing, teaching people, whether it's golfing or making free throws in basketball or whatever it is, to envision the outcome that is desired and to see it over and over and over and over and over again. And it's been scientifically demonstrated that practicing in that way will actually improve your game, even over just doing the physical activity multiple times. Because when you're fine-tuning it in your mind, it will affect the physical. And so again, that's another wonderful lesson to take out of the Super Bowl. And again, I would say that shared vision that the teams have, that they're doing it as a team. Even though there may be superstars, and certainly there are players on each team that are much more well-known and considered to be above their peers, so to speak, it's still a team game. And that's another piece of this. And the more that we choose to claim that, the better off we're going to be as we flow forward. And let's shift gears here a little bit. This whole thing of the Super Bowl has become about much more than just the football game itself. It's become about the spectacle. It's become about the pregame show, the halftime show. It's become about the commercials. Well, those commercials cost a heck of a lot of money. So this is going to be not only in the play selection during the football game, but this is going to be one of the most creative periods of time on television, because companies literally spend an entire year seeking to develop the commercials that they're going to put on during the Super Bowl, because they're going to reach so many people at one time. They want that to be the most effective, memorable commercial that they can possibly make. Well, again, how can we look at that? How can we apply that? How can we seek to bring that idea into our lives? Well, I would say this, that every single moment is a new creation. I've heard this countless times in sessions. Every time we do something, it doesn't matter if it's something we do once a day, 10 times a day, every day for our entire lives. Brushing our teeth, washing our hands. Every time we do it, the structure of it may be the same as the last time we did it, but it is truly a different experience. It's a different creation, because we're different than we were the last time we did that same action. And especially those kinds of things that we've done so many times, we don't need to think about doing them. They become second nature. They become what an acting teacher I once had calls intuitive. They become part of our instinctual nature, just something we can do automatically. Almost. Well, maybe not even almost. We do it automatically. And yet, in each moment, we have the capacity. And as I said earlier in the show, in each moment, we have the capacity to open into a heightened experience, the greatest experience of divinity we've ever had. Now, one of the things that I'd like to touch on there is I'm not talking about necessarily those peak moments. And they're peak in two ways, that they're the highest moments. They're the ones that we will tell stories about where our life has been transformed, like what I spoke of a couple weeks ago happened to me when I did that burning. And you may well have your own peak experiences like that where the clouds seem to part and it's like we're looking directly in the eye of God somehow. Maybe not literally, but experientially, where it's just so much higher than what we typically have. It's a peak moment because it's so high, but it's also a peak moment because we're peeking behind the curtain. And we're getting to see experientially, we're getting to experience something that has not been a part of our reality. It's not been a level that we've been living at regularly. And those moments don't happen because we're supposed to hold on to them. In fact, one of the things that, again, I've heard countless times, I've experienced multiple times myself, for instance, going to some sort of a conference or event where a whole lot of people walking this path come together with a purpose. We create that team in physical form and we bring it together to move something forward toward a goal, to share something. And that energy is palpable in the room. The mass consciousness becomes more palpable. And then we come back from that and we have this huge letdown. And it's hard to keep the momentum. And again, I'm talking terms that I've been talking about sports with. Well, it's because those are peak moments. They're giving us that peak. They're giving us an experience that is now in our energy field that we move toward. We move toward. But one of the things about those moments, those peak moments, is that we always judge them as so much grander than where we're at in this moment. And yet, between now and then, and part of the reason is they're for inspiration, they're for incentive, if you will. If we keep moving on the path, eventually we'll get to the place where we live that energy all the time. But the interesting thing is, to me, by the time we get there, there will have moved, so to speak. In other words, by the time we get to living that last peak experience in every moment of every day, what we consider to be a peak experience will have moved as well. Because we have snuck up on it. We've made a little bit of progress each day. Or many days, if not every day. And then we get there. And it feels natural. It's not this astonishing, surprising thing anymore. Because it's only a little bit more than it was the day before, and only a little bit more than it was the day before that, etc. And we've made that incremental growth. And that is one of the bugaboos down here walking this path, is that we are built, humans are built in some ways to solve problems. So we tend to focus on what's wrong and how to fix that next thing. The way coaches go in at halftime and try and fix what didn't work in the first half so the team can go back out there and make it work in the second half. And one of the keys that this brings up is gratitude. And gratitude, I have to say, is a funny thing. Because we can consciously step toward it. But one of the things that will most directly, spontaneously bring the experience of gratitude up is to fully breathe in and receive whatever it is that you're grateful for, whether it's some literal physical gift that someone gave you, or whether it's an opportunity to have had an experience. It doesn't matter what it might be. But I believe our gratitude is directly proportional to how deeply we allow ourselves to receive that thing. And it comes up automatically that way. Which doesn't mean it's not a good thing to seek to be grateful, to choose consciously to feel into that. But I actually believe that that's just the flip side of the coin. When we choose to be grateful, when we seek to feel grateful, when we seek to breathe into that, what we're doing is opening to receive the experience more deeply. And I don't have a specific direct correlation back to the Super Bowl on this one. Except that I'm grateful that the Super Bowl is today so that it gave me this platform to share these ideas in. And I'm grateful for all of you for connecting with me through the mass consciousness to bring this forward in this way. And I'm grateful to be able to be the vessel through which these messages flow. And so I would ask you at this moment to just notice something, anything that you are consciously grateful of today in this moment, and really breathe into that and feel the growth of your receptivity to it, the growth of your acceptance of that, as you notice and breathe into and allow the growth of your gratitude. All right. So, I want to do one is a commercial announcement, one is a public service announcement. Now, the commercial announcement is that this coming Tuesday is the full moon, February 7th, so I will be doing the next gateway then. It is the gateway of balance. So if more balance would be useful for your life, then let me know and I'll get you connected. That can be in person, it can be through teleconference, or it is available through the recording, and all the power is available there, even through the recording. And the public service announcement, I have, I have lots of wonderful colleagues out there in the world. One of them that was on the show as one of my guests this past fall, John Davis, who does numerology. He came to me with an idea, a concept, guidance that he had received. In doing his numerology, he looks forward. He does numerology for the planet, and he was looking forward in time to the solstice in December and the transformation that theoretically that's a marker point of. And then he looked backwards, and he looked backwards through the concept of conception. And humans, at least, we think of that as 9 months from conception to birth. And so 9 months before December 21st is March 21st. And that means that is the conception day. And so he is requesting, suggesting, asking you to join us in doing some prayer on that day, specifically envisioning at the planetary level what is the change that you would like to see. And I'll be sending out an email tomorrow, I believe, which has more information about that and a suggested prayer even. But I just bring that up now so that it can get onto as many calendars as possible. And when I do send that out, you can pass that on as widely as you would like. The more of us who join together on Team Ascension on Conception Day in March, the stronger the energy wave will be toward December 21st. So I don't believe any particular day is going to be the whole enchilada, the big ball of wax, so to speak, and make all the difference in the world. But certainly there are days that have more potential for that. And any time we can gather the largest team together to co-create forward into into the light, into the life we would like it to be on planet Earth, the better. So I just bring that in here as, again, a public service announcement. All right. So let's go see what they might have to say in the channeling. And so as we do this, as always, just allow your breathing to deepen while I do some toning to align the energies to allow them to come through. Hello, dear ones. We are the Great White Brotherhood come to speak with you today. And to continue forward with what you have been discussing, you might think of us as the coaching staff for Team Ascension. And know that every one of us within the Great White Brotherhood has been in body, has been one who has dealt with the issues of unworthiness, the issues of needing to overcome those built-in limitations, of needing to overcome the doubt, the disbelief, the, shall we say, hostility even of those who might be around you. Know that they are reflecting back to you your own doubts. Know that they are reflecting back to you your own unworthiness, what your perception is of your own unworthiness. They are not speaking truth to you. And know, if you will, that in that name, Great White Brotherhood, white does not denote skin color. It is about white light, which carries all other light in it. White light is the team of light, if you will, of all light. And so this is about expanding in your conception of who is walking this path with you. The more you can open into connecting with us, the more you can open to connecting into relationship with your other guides and angels, the more you can open into direct experience of all the others walking this path, the more you will start to express more of the color in your spectrum of light. And you will be more creative because you have all the colors of your light to play with. And brotherhood has nothing to do with male or even masculine energy. It has to do with a gathering together. And in the mass consciousness of the planet, there has been much more gathering under the umbrella of brotherhood than any other term in recent or recorded history. And so we use it in that purpose, the umbrella of coming together, the umbrella of joining together and connecting in movement forward toward that white light. Now, what we are here to do today is to take you into unifying some of your energies into a more conscious, unified whole. And so, if you will, we will walk you through a process to help activate that, to initialize it in you more fully. If you are non-visual, that does not matter. What is most important is your intention to join with us in this. And so, bring your conscious awareness into the physical body and take the awareness of the connection to the Mother Earth and expand it. And we will start in the chakra that you would call the first chakra, or the root chakra. And we would ask you to focus there with the intention that the light within you, within that spectrum that you would call red, expand. Not only within the chakra, but throughout your physical being. And then throughout your emotional being. And then throughout your mental being. And then throughout your spiritual being. Not that all the others are not spiritual. And just allow that expansion in all of those levels, and it will continue until it is completed. Until it has gone as far as you are able to go at this time. And so we go to the second, or the sacral chakra. And we ask there to expand the energy of the orange color spectrum, of the orange ray in all its permutations. And then we ask that to expand throughout your physical body, your physical being, throughout your emotional body, throughout your emotional being, throughout your mental body, your mental being, and throughout your spiritual body, your spiritual being. And that as well will continue to expand until it has expanded to the level that is completion for you at this time, as far as you are able to go within the energy of joy. This is not about pushing you forward. It is about relaxing into sharing more of your light, letting yourself be seen, exposing yourself. And so we move up to the third chakra, the solar plexus chakra. And within that chakra, we expand the energies of the yellow spectrum of light, the yellow ray, including at this time the golden ray. And then we expand that out throughout the physical being, throughout the physical body, throughout the emotional being, throughout your emotional body, throughout the mental being, throughout your mental body, throughout your spiritual being, throughout your spiritual body. And know that this will expand until it has reached its completion in this timing. And we move to the fourth chakra, the heart chakra. And we expand the energies of the green ray, all aspects of the green color spectrum. And we would also touch in with the pink ray here and all aspects of that spectrum and expand those within the heart chakra and then out through the physical being and out through the emotional being and out through the mental being and out through spiritual being. And we go to the throat chakra, the fifth chakra. And we open that chakra and expand the energies of the blue spectrum, the blue ray, in all its permutations. And we spread that throughout the physical being, throughout the emotional being, throughout the mental being, throughout the spiritual being. And know that that will expand until it is completed as far as it is able to go with you at this time. And we go to the sixth chakra, the third eye. And we open into the energy of the indigo, of the deep night sky, of the purple, in all its permutations. And we expand that energy throughout the physical body and being, throughout the emotional body and being, throughout the mental body and being, throughout the spiritual body and being. And know that that will expand as far as it can go until it is completed. And now we go to the crown, to the seventh chakra. And we ask to open, to expand the light of integration, the light of interweaving, the pure white light. And as that comes in and it moves through the physical being and body, it weaves together all the other colors. And as it moves through the emotional being and body, it weaves together all of the other colors. And as it moves through the mental being and body, it weaves together all of the other colors. It unifies them in expression as fully as you are able at this time. As it moves together through the spiritual being and body, it weaves together all the other colors, creating an emergence so that it is white light that is coming in, and yet it is more white light that is expressing out. And allow yourself to receive this unification. And know that it will continue until it is complete within you. But to receive this unification, and to allow yourself to receive it, allow yourself to open into that energy of gratitude, to deepen the degree to which you are able to experience it, to accept it, to express it. And know that you are much loved, dear ones, much loved now and always, and that you are beings of light, no matter what your physical senses may tell you. You are beings of light, and you are here to shine. Namaste. Okay, thank you for that, GWB. And thank you to all of you for helping to co-create this with me here today. And thank you, as always, to Doug. And you can turn those chimes on anytime you like. So, I cannot do the show without you. I do appreciate all of your feedback, your input, your guidance, your questions, your suggestions. And know that they will come forth into shows as the divine timing brings them forward. Know as well that I will be back next week. Same time, same place. Although you never know where this show is going to go. Well, it's here. It's here. It's here. And it's going to stick around. I'm not planning on stopping anytime soon. So, thank you for joining me to co-create this today. I look forward to co-creating with you again next time you choose to join us. Much love, my friends. Namaste.